Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
This series, Not Today, Devil. The first 2 weeks, we gave a lot of highlight to how the devil actually works in our life, that he is a real person and he has demons as cohorts that harass us and try to trouble us. And we looked at some of those kinds of things. And because how many of you know the God doesn't want us to be ignorant that we have a real enemy? But how many of you know that there's a whole other side of it, that we are aware of the enemy, but we don't walk in our awareness of the enemy. We walk in our awareness of God's power and God's strength. And so we're going to move on from that. The next 2 weeks, this week and next week, we're going to be talking about the real great, amazing weapons and tools God's put in our hands to live a life of victory. And this is going to be an awesome time. So if you got your Bibles with me, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. And here's what it says. Just as you're turning there, I wanted to celebrate really a great team. I had a visitor the other day come up to me, and they said, we were a little nervous coming to the church because sometimes we don't know where to go. And we pulled in, and there was somebody in the parking lot greeting us. And then we parked, and they welcomed us in the car. And then there's people holding signs that said, hey, you can go this way. And somebody came up to us, wanted to check in our kid in the parking lot. I've never seen a thing like this, you know. And then he brought us in here, came in, and somebody set us down. And it was a little overwhelming because we're so used to visiting a church, and nobody, ever talks to us or tries to connect with us. And I just wanted to celebrate our guest experience teams who work so hard at trying to make this place feel like a home for so many. Come on, let's really celebrate them. And maybe you've been around here for a while and you're looking how to get involved. Right after this service, every week we have next classes. And today is starting next. Our next class is Step One, which is all about our church and what we represent and who we are and how to make this place home. And so if you're looking at getting more involved, love for you to get involved. You can jump on any step. So if you can't do it next weekend, come next weekend. Or this weekend, you can come next weekend, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 through 18, and here's what it says. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, aren't you glad there's a therefore? Like, we've been looking at the devil, and I'm so glad that there's a therefore, because if all I was aware of him and him trying to harm my life, I'd be a little freaky. But there is a great therefore in the Bible. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after doing everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I love that. We got a shield because we're going to get up close for a battle. The devil's on the run, so he's trying to shoot at us with bow and arrows. That's what God wants for our life. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I love that last. For all the Lord's people, which means we're in this fight together. Like, you're not alone. You don't have to walk through this thing alone. We are in this spiritual fight together. I want to read one more passage of scripture here as just really a declaration of who me and you are today if you follow Jesus. It says this, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says this, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Today, I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought, fit for the fight. Just say that out loud with some attitude. Fit for the fight. I don't know why this feels good. Anyway, let's pray. Jesus, we thank you today that you make us fit for the fight. Lord God, that you've come to strengthen, to encourage, to build up today. God, may we live here today with more of a revelation of who we are in Christ. And Lord, we just want to declare to whoever wants to hear, we do not like you, Ohio State. We're still believing. Can't stop believing for Huskers are okay. Lord, we just always throw that in there while we have you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, if you love Jesus today, put your hands together for him. So I'm going to need a little participation here for just a moment, and I'm going to need a little show of hands here. By a show of hands, who has played a full contact sport before? About 50% full contact sport, like, you know, I don't know, wrestling or football or something. Where you, I mean, like, your job is to try to inflict pain on the other person that you're competing against. You know, that's a full contact sport. I love full contact sports. Like, I never could really understand soccer. I'll just be honest with you. I love you if you like to play soccer. I'm not a hater, okay? It's not a big deal if you like to. I just can't run around that much without hitting somebody. That's too much work, man. Like, if I'm gonna play a sport where I don't get to hit somebody, I'm gonna play baseball because then I just stand there. Like, if I'm going to put out a lot of effort, it's going to be a full contact sport. You know what I mean? It's going to be a full contact sport. There's something about playing full contact sports. You're wide awake. Like, you're alert. You're wide awake. All of your senses are alive. Your mind is alert. And you are acutely aware that you are in a fight. You are in a battle. And that what? You've got to be prepared for this fight. You're alert. You're alive. You're ready for the battle. And as you begin to play, you become more and more aware that in a full contact sport, a great offense is a whole lot better than a great defense. Like, if you've ever played football before, you know, if you're just walking around trying to play defense, trying to get away from people, you're going to lose the game. But instead, we take the offense to the enemy with what? Leaning into the talents, the gifts, the abilities, the protection that we are wearing in the game. You know, my favorite full contact sport, if you could consider this a full contact sport, I do, is paintball. I don't think it gets any more full contact than paintball, you know? Like, because, like, though I may not be hitting somebody, how many of you know, if you're playing paintball, you're getting shot at. It's as full contact as you can get. I mean, it's the definition is defense and offense. You know, protect yourself and try to, you know, win the war, you know. And there's something about paintball that you become really aware that there are some key things that you got to have when you're playing paintball. Like, if you don't have them, you're going to experience a whole lot of pain in the game. You've got to have some great protection, and you've got to have some great weapons in your hand. Like, can you imagine playing paintball without any protection? Like, you're running out in the field, no mask on, no shirt on. I mean, no, that you can do it. It ain't smart. It ain't going to be smart. Because why? If I go out there with no mask on, if I go out there with no gun, imagine playing paintball without a gun in your hand. You're just out there like, oh. You know, like, you're just trying to play dodgeball. You're playing dodgeball at that point. That's what you're playing. And, you know, because why? You know you've got to have some protection. But you also got to have some weapons. And that as we play, there are these things make us fit for the fight. That in fact, when you play paintball, there's really not a whole lot of things that's going to stop the game. Like, you, once the whistle goes, like, you're in the fight, whether you want to be or not. You can sit there, you can cry, you can try to hide, but people, ready or not, people are coming after you. You know what I mean? Like, you're in the fight. But there is this one thing that will stop the game. It's if your mask falls off. Because that mask is a necessity to the game. And if the mask is not on the person, the referee will realize they are not fit for the fight anymore. And he will scream, cease fire, cease fire. Everybody's supposed to stop shooting. Because why? The declaration is going out. We have a person trying to fight who's not fit for the fight. It's not fit for the fight. You know, I was thinking about that. And we as spiritual people are in a war. We are in the war, and the question is are we fit for the fight? You know, what contrasts the battle that me and you are in rather than the battle of paintball is if our protection, if our weapons fall apart, there is no referee to yell ceasefire. There is nobody saying, oh, so-and-so's not fit for the fight. Hey, let's pause the game until they get fit for the fight. In fact, what the devil does is he prowls around looking for people who are not fit for the fight. looking for somebody he can devour. He is a savage. He does not play fair, for the Bible says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So how many of you know, with that in mind, how much more important it is that we come to the battle fit for the fight? This is exactly what Paul's talking about in Ephesians chapter 6. Just look at what he says. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on. This is going to require our participation. Notice, I just want you to notice here for a moment. None of these things that God tells us to put on, we fashion. We do not fashion our salvation. We do not fashion our righteousness. We do not fashion truth. We do not fashion a shield of faith. These are gifts from God. But how many of you know, if they're just hanging up in the closet, they're not a whole lot of good to me. It would be like showing up to the game, but you left your equipment at home. God can give us the gift, but we have to participate in putting it on. And I love what Paul says. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. See, Paul wants us to fully understand that if you're going to win this fight, you can't fight with your own strength. You can't fight with the weapons that you're going to try to fashion. You can't fight, you know, trying to save yourself. You can't fight trying to be a good person. You can't fight trying to live in your own righteousness. You're going to have some weapons that are a whole lot stronger than what you bring to the table. You're going to have to stand in God's might. Here's what I want you to understand today. We are fit for the fight when we stand in the power of God's might. We become fit for the fight. The first step in being fit for the fight is we have a big awareness that I will lose this battle unless I have a power on the inside of me that is stronger than what's coming against me. We are fit for the fight when we stand in the power of God's might. See, God wants you to understand that all of these things that he's calling you to put on are not things of your own strength. They are not things of your own self-effort. These are the things that Christ has purchased for us on the cross. And we have to dress ourselves. We have to willingly participate in the victory that has been won. We have to step into it. We have to put it on. We have to get dressed for the battle. Here's what I would say. We are dressed for the battle because we are prepared for the battle. Too many times I see people, they're just doing life, not realizing that they are in a spiritual war. So because they're not really prepared to engage in a battle, they're not even thinking about how I like the illustration of paintball is because when I get up in the morning, I know I'm going to the paintball field to what? Pick a fight. I know I'm going, so I immediately go to the clock. I get what? My equipment out. I dress myself in the appropriate attire to meet the demands of the day. God wants you to have the appropriate clothing, the appropriate armor, the appropriate weapons to what? When you get up each and every morning, that you have in your hands, around your head, and around your heart, the things to meet the demands of the day. We are dressed for the battle because we are prepared for the battle. So Paul begins to talk about, what do we get dressed up in? He's going, first, I want you to know, this has nothing to do with your strength. This has nothing to do. You're going to need a power greater than yourself. So you're fit for the fight when you stand in the power of God's might. But then he begins to walk through these different things. And for many of us, it's a little weird because we don't have these kinds of soldiers running around anymore. But for the Romans, it made complete sense. That put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit and the shield of faith and the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. He's going through these pieces of armor. And here's what I need you to understand about the armor of God. It doesn't really help just to go, okay, God, I get up in the morning. Today, I'm putting on the helmet of salvation. Okay, it's good. Okay, we're good now. And then imaginary, here we go, breastplate of righteousness. Okay, we're good. You know, that's not what it is. These are things that actually have to be walked out, to be realized, to have faith in. Here's what I would say. The armor of God is a pathway to deliverance. The armor of God isn't something that we imaginarily put on in the morning. It's what we truthfully walk out following Jesus. And as we walk it out, we will discover that there is a pathway that God has built, that as we walk this out from the helmet of salvation down to the feet of peace, we will find this great pathway that as we walk through it, the things that used to hang us up, the weapons that the devil used to use at us, they will be stopped, and we will find a pathway towards deliverance in our life. I think the word deliverance has gotten hijacked in Christianity. Like something weird's gonna happen to you. No, it's just called salvation. It's just called the cross. It's just called the good news. The good news isn't that we would someday wind up in heaven. The good news is that we could experience freedom on the inside of us here on earth. And then when we cross the finish line, we get to celebrate for all of eternity the great works of Jesus in our life. The armor of God, it's a pathway to deliverance. Here's what I want you to understand about this armor. This armor we wear is not seen, but it covers the unseen parts of our life. So it covers our mind. It covers our heart. It covers our conscience. It covers the strength. It gives us strength in our life. It builds faith in our life to meet the demands of whatever's coming against us. It covers these things. These are all unseen things. You can't see your mind, but you know it works. I can't see my heart, but I know it's there. I can't see my conscience, but I know I have one. I can't see my strength. Can't see my faith, but I know it's there. See, these are the things that have moved from what we can see, feel, taste, and touch into another realm called the spiritual realm, where we battle against a real enemy. And God's saying, I've got armor to cover your mind, your heart, your conscience. I've got armor, weapons that will give you strength and will feed your faith that you can overcome. So I want to begin to walk through these pieces of armor. How many are ready for this? We're gonna begin to walk through these pieces of armor. The first one is, and I'm going to work from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, and then we're going to talk about once we are clothed with armor, that we switch from what? Not what is going to protect us, but what? The weapons in our hands to advance. Because why? A great offense is a whole lot better than a great defense. The helmet of salvation. I find it interesting that this one is the one that surrounds our mind. The helmet, the fact that Jesus came when you were so far away from him, when you hadn't thought a thought about him, the Bible says it like this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were a long ways off, God was pursuing us. I find it unbelievably powerful that truth, that we didn't earn salvation, we couldn't get to God, so God came to us. God rescued us. When we were stuck in our sin, God hung on a cross for my and you to liberate us. I find that amazing that's the thing that protects our mind. Because the devil wants to come, and what does he want to do? He wants to talk to you about your future out of your past. See, you made mistakes. You don't have what it takes. Let me tell you, your future is full of insecurity. Your future, how can you trust God to save you? How can you trust God to protect you? How can you trust God to provide for you? Do you know what your past has been like? Do you know? And he comes against our minds, and he tries to wage war about our minds. But here's what I want you to know today, that my mind is protected. Because my future is secure. The devil hates the fact that in the end, he loses. There's nothing he's going to be able to do. He can't stand against when Jesus returns. It will be done. It is finished. It will be wrapped up. And me and you will stand in victory and rule and reign with Jesus. He can't stand it. That's why he's coming against you in the first place. He can't stand it. So you know what I always say is when the devil tries to influence my future, I just remind him of his. That my mind's protected, because if I go through a good time or a bad time in this world, salvation is secure for me. My future is secure. My mind is protected. But we have to have a made-up mind. Because here's the deal. You can theoretically know that, but a made-up mind is a protected mind. Like a made-up mind, a resolute spirit that says, I have given my life away to Jesus. I have trusted him for my salvation. I am a follower of Jesus. I've surrendered my life to him. That can't be just a momentary convenient thing in order to protect your mind. It has to be a resolute, made-up mind. For James says it like this, but when you ask, talking about when you go to God, you must believe and not doubt. But the one who doubts is like the waves of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from God. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. And the devil knows this. So what is he going to do? He's going to try to come and challenge your salvation, for you to take matters into your own hands, for you to rely on your righteousness, not God's. That what? We can take it away, because why? He knows if he can get you double-minded, if he can get you trusting in something else besides Jesus, he knows he got your mind. Because you're going to be unstable. But not only that, if he can't take away your salvation, he's going to just try to influence your calling. Here's what I want you to know. You're not just saved. Salvation isn't just a ticket to heaven. It's a calling to live out. You're not just saved, but you are called. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says like this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's me and you. Look at your neighbor telling you you're special. Now look at your other neighbor, the one you didn't like as much. Tell me you're special too. I kid. We're special people to God, that you may proclaim his praises for him who called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. God has a calling for you, but he's looking for people who will say, you know what? I've got a made-up mind. My salvation is not based on my works, my effort, my ability. I was dead in my sin, but Jesus came and found me. And now I have this one declaration. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I've decided, I've made up my mind that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And though I may make some mistakes, I'm going one way, and that's towards Jesus. My mind is protected because of his great salvation in my life. But then he moves down, just one from the helmet to the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I just want you to see the dressing that is going on from your mind that is totally confident that your salvation does not come from you. That I'm totally confident that my life is Jesus's. It's not mine. And I trust him with my whole heart. Then he says, the breastplate of righteousness. So here's the question. Is this your righteousness? Or is this Jesus' righteousness? If I'm totally sold that my mind is covered by the salvation of Christ, what's my heart covered with? That though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he gets back up again. Just think about that for a moment. How can a man be righteous but fall 7 times? A man can be righteous and fall 7 times because he keeps on getting up, because he understands that what is protecting my heart is not my righteousness, it's Jesus' righteousness. If he's called me, if he's saved me, it's not based on my performance, but it's based on what he did on the cross. So I made a mistake. I can humbly submit and pick myself back up again. You want to know how to protect your heart? Well, friends, if you start relying on your strength, your power, your might, your righteousness, your heart will be unprotected. I've met some of the most moral people with the coldest heart. Rule following will never cover our heart. Only the love that we accept, not based on, God, I'm good enough today. God, I got up and I prayed today. I feel closer to you. Well, we do this, right? Don't get me wrong. I totally get it. If you pray, you are going to feel closer to God. But it's not because God moved. It's because you moved. It's not because your righteousness changed. It's because you're just starting to get aware of God's righteousness in your life. That we don't live by self-righteousness and self-effort that will never protect our hearts. For the Bible says that our righteousness is a filthy rags. I don't need my righteousness. I need a Savior, and His name is Jesus. I've been saved by Him. My righteousness is through Him. My heart is protected. Well, Pastor Jesse, I hear you, but I do bad things. Well, so do I. And that's the next piece. It's called the belt of truth. Truth. Truth is not a lid on your life pressing you down. Truth is a tool that comes to liberate us over what is coming against us. Have you ever made a mistake in your life? Where do you feel it? You ever done something bad and you think you were going to get caught when you were a kid? And all of a sudden, where do you feel it? Right? Like, I used to be a pretty bad kid, so I'd do something bad. Sometimes I couldn't eat because I was so filled with my conscience and my, you know, like, oh, man, I'm going to get caught. I can't get, you know, I mean, my stomach is, you ever heard somebody say, my stomach is in knots? Notice that the belt of truth comes around that part in our life. So if your salvation was not earned by you, was not completed by you, if your confidence is not in your righteousness but in God's, what is the purpose of the belt of truth? It's that when me and you veer out of the truth, we have this beautiful friend called the Holy Spirit. He's also known as the Spirit of Truth, who comes. And we go, oh God, how'd that happen? God, here I am again. God goes, I never get tired of this. The Bible says, if me and you are faithful to confess our sins, He is faithful to redeem us, forgive us every single time. See, God doesn't want you just to be walking around saved, getting punched in the stomach. I'm saved. You know, like, yeah, you're going to go to heaven, but life ain't feeling too good because you're just getting beat up. Hey, here's what I want to say. There's no guilt or condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So if you got something going on in your world, you bring it to God. You submit it to God. That's what the Bible says. Submit to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So what do? We understand that God is a good God, full of great salvation. He wants to give us His righteousness. So I'm not going to hang on to my mistakes. I'm going to turn them over to Jesus. I'm going to walk with truth surrounding my life. I'm not going to be ashamed of my mistakes. No, I'm going to bring them to God so I can overcome my mistakes. And then notice, there's this transitional piece. It's called feet. It's kind of weird when most theologians, they have a hard time even putting it into words because they're like, the feet of the peace of gospel, of the, you know, the gospel of peace. Like, literally, I've read over commentaries. People are like, well, we think this is what it means. There's like a lot of different opinions. I think it was God saying, here's the great transition piece. Now that you're clothed in all that I've done in you, now walk in it. Now walk in it. Now walk in the freedom. Walk in the joy of your salvation. Walk in God's righteousness. Walk in the truth. And let your feet be covered with peace. What is the peace of the gospel? That we were enemies of God. And God came to make friends with us. We've been put at peace with God. This is so good. Some of you are like, you're not excited at all. I'm pumped about this. I was an enemy. God was at war with us. And we found peace because of Jesus. And I can't help but think that if I'm at peace with God, you know, when you make a peace treaty, oftentimes what you make a declaration is not only are we not going to fight each other, but we're going to defend each other. So if I'm at peace with God, if He's no longer my enemy, but we're friends, not based on what I've done, but what God has done, I've got the most important almighty, all-powerful, all-authority friend on my side. And who's he fighting? He's fighting the enemy of my soul. It's the Lord. And that's what God says. Now stand in the peace of God. Devil, you're an accuser. You want to make me feel guilt and shame. Yeah, I make some mistakes, but friend, they're mistakes. They're in my past. I'm secure in my future. I know what God says about me. And devil, we stand against you. You try to bring divisiveness, guilt, shame, a lack of peace in my life, but I stand because I'm at peace with God. I'm walking in the truth, and I stand against you. Then God says, you know what you got to do? You got to take up the shield of faith, because he's going to keep on shooting them at you. But you know what you do? Every time he does, oh, you made a mistake. Yes, I did, but I confessed it. Me and God are at peace. What you got now? What you got? What you got now? All those mistakes, God couldn't use you? Yeah, well, thank goodness I'm not relying on my righteousness. I'm relying on Jesus's righteousness. And if Jesus has called me, it's good enough for me. Oh, no. You can't trust God for a good relationship. You could compromise your character just to try to get after that. Are you kidding me? I gave my life away. I gave it away. I gave it away. If Jesus doesn't give me another thing, he's already given me everything. So you're coming trying to get in my mind and worry about my insecurities. I'm good. Me and Jesus are good. I'm walking in truth. I'm walking with God, and I'm putting out every dart of the enemy. And then God says, I want you to pick up the sword of the Spirit and go to war. So I'm not just going to try to counteract. I'm going to tell him the truth. You know what the truth is? That he who is in me is greater than he who's in the world. Devil, this may be your world, but he that is living in me, I'm saved, I'm redeemed. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and what is in me is so much stronger than what's coming at me. So today, we push back on you. We remind him of God's truth over our life. We remind him, and we just begin to pick apart every lie of the enemy. Oh no, you're not good enough. I'm not, but thank goodness I'm not the one who declares who's good enough or not. God says I'm good enough, so I'm gonna walk in all that God has for me. I'm just cutting apart every lie of the enemy. And you know what I love about this illustration of the armor? There's not a single piece on the back. There's not a single piece on your back, because God never meant for you to retreat. He meant you to have a level of confidence over the enemy, that whatever's coming against you, you can stand against it. I can stand against it. Why? Because though I may not feel peace with you right now, devil, I'm at peace with God. And if you're my enemy, you're his enemy. The battle is the Lord's. And by the Lord, we come against you, not by our strength, but by the blood of Jesus. We stand against you and against all your schemes. We stand in the armor of God. We stand in the armor of God. Why don't we stand to our feet? You know, I'm reminded of this great passage of scripture in the Bible where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and they have seen Jesus win the most unbelievable wars. You know what I mean? They've seen Jesus defeat the devil, heal the sick, the lame walk. They've seen him overcome opposition with a sense of peace on the inside of him. They've seen so much, and Jesus is trying to coach them. He's going, hey guys, in a little while, you won't see me anymore, for I go to be with the Father. They're going, Jesus, no! No. How will we win the war unless you're with us? I guarantee you that was their thoughts. Like, we can't be left alone. But then Jesus looks at him and says, I won't leave you an orphan. For if I go to the Father, I will send another called the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit to come and walk with you. And here's what the Bible says that he's come to do. And I love it, because if you have a religious mindset, you're going to read this thing and you go, ah, see? Holy Spirit comes to convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. We need to preach more of that stuff. More, maybe more people would get free from the devil. You know, they just knew how bad they were. It's one way of thinking about it, but it didn't really ever help me. Be honest. But then Jesus goes on to elaborate. He goes, sin, because you do not believe in me. What's he talking about? It's your helmet. You know what I believe? That whatever comes against me, Jesus is stronger than it. My faith is in him. You know what the sin that I'm going to struggle with, friends? It's not behavior, it's belief. Jesus didn't come for behavior modification. He came for heart transformation. Because why? Belief comes out of our hearts. So the Holy Spirit's going to come to convict you. Because why? You think you're going to save yourself. I can't save myself. I need a Savior greater than me. I need a belief in him that he will carry me through every sort of sin. Righteousness. What did Jesus say? He said the Holy Spirit will come to convict you of righteousness because you no longer see me. What is he saying? They couldn't see what truth looked like, because in this broken world, it's hard to see what truth is. But they had truth standing in front of them. This is what grace looks like. This is what forgiveness looks like. This is what redemption looks like. And if he was gone, how many of you know we got a forgetful memory? But the Holy Spirit comes to what? Convict us of righteousness. What is he trying to show us? Here's what Jesus looks like. So when God shows up in your world and says, hey, that wasn't a good thing, he's not saying, ooh, you're naughty. He's saying, that's not what Jesus looks like. And our goal has to be his righteousness, not our own. And then judgment. And here's the great thing. He goes, the Holy Spirit is going to come to convict you of judgment. Oh, yeah, because God's coming to judge us. No, that's not what it says. It says he's coming to convict us of judgment because what? The ruler of this world has already been judged. What is he saying? The devil's been dealt with at the cross, and the Holy Spirit is going to come to remind you that whatever's coming against you, Jesus paid a price to overcome it. For I want to remind you today, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says this, for whatever is born of God, that's me and you, we're going to overcome this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. It is our faith. Come on, if you believe God today for great victory in your life, why don't we lift our hands, lift our voices, come on.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.